Well, you know, it's almost 3 weeks into the new year. And I want to ask you, how are your New Year's resolutions and plans coming? You know, this is the 20th. I just came across something that I thought was kind of startling, and I don't startle easily. Did you know that January 12th is designated as National Quitters Day? National Quitters Day, that's the day, according to surveys, that the majority of people have given up on their New Year's resolutions. I mean, we're talking not even 2 weeks. What were those resolutions? Do you even remember? You know, I'm going to exercise every day. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to meditate 15 minutes a day. I'm going to give up junk food. Only eat green stuff. I'm going to get organized. Get a second job. Get out of debt. You know, we have this whole list. Why do we even make resolutions, particularly if that's true, if most people give up on their resolutions about 2 weeks into the new year? Not that we can't make new resolutions, but... And as I was thinking about that, the common link in making a resolution is desire. A resolution is really a desire to be more. More what? healthier? More spiritual? More efficient? More prosperous? More patient? More happy? More peaceful? Fill in the blank. It's like wherever we are right now, we want to be more than that. You may not have thought about it, but making resolutions, desiring to be more, is actually an innately spiritual process. Making resolutions, desiring to be more, is really a spiritual process? Well, I love to go back to the basics. I love to go back to the early teachers. I figured it worked for them 100 years ago and will continue to work if we practice those principles. And Unity's co-founder, Charles Fillmore, said, "Desire is the upward impulse of the ever-evolving soul." Desire is the upward impulse of the ever-evolving soul. Isn't that beautiful? He really honestly believed that without desire, we can't do anything as humans and spiritual beings. The very fact we have desires, the very fact we long to be more than, is about soul growth. It's about soul evolution. Interesting way of looking at it. The problem is, evolution is not static. We can't evolve and stay the same. We can't evolve and be in the same place. We can't evolve and be the same tomorrow as we are today. Evolution, growth, is about movement and energy and flow and circulation and change. Yes. And so even though there's this desire and this impulse to be more than, to be here, there is this counter-reaction to stay planted very firmly where we are, to do what we've always done. I always loved Dr. Phil back in the day when he was a big thing on Oprah, and he'd listen to someone talk about their life and go on and on and on, and they'd want life to be different, and he'd always say, "Well, how's that working for you so far? I mean, obviously, what you've been doing has gotten you here. So if you want it to be different, you've got to be different or act differently or have a different consciousness." Our way shower Jesus said, "I came that you might have life and have it abundantly." I so love that quote. Not only life, but abundant life. So what does abundant life look like? What does it feel like? And more importantly, how do I get me some of that abundant life? It starts with developing an abundance or prosperity consciousness, whichever word feels good to you. Okay, so, abundant life. We're here talking about spiritual stuff, and we've talked about desires and resolutions being spiritual steps when you look at them. But is this really important, this idea of developing an abundance consciousness? Can't we just be wonderful and obedient and patient and loving and kind and, you know, all that stuff and do penance or whatever it is, you know, religion teaches us? What's the importance here with the abundance consciousness? Is that really important? And so just out of curiosity, I checked our roadmap, the Bible, and the word abundant is mentioned 110 times in our Bible. That seems pretty significant. Blessings, which is another word for abundance, was mentioned 84 times, and the word prosperity was mentioned 92 times. So it seems, you know, there's an emphasis both in Hebrew scripture and Christian scripture about this idea of prosperity and abundance and the importance of it. So there are lots of references. And again, going back to John saying that Jesus said, "I came that we may have life and have it abundantly," seems to be the whole point of his message. When he talks about the kingdom of heaven is at hand, the kingdom of heaven is within us, the kingdom of heaven is here. It wasn't just a pie in the sky kind of teaching. That kingdom of heaven mentality and abundance mentality are tied together. Turn to the person next to you and say, "I'm supposed to have abundant life." Do that. Just tell them. Okay, now turn to the person on the other side of you and say, "You're supposed to have abundant life." As you're talking to the back of someone's head. But really, I mean, what can you imagine what life would be like instead of saying, "Hi, how are you? How are you doing?" You'd walk up to somebody and say, "You're supposed to have abundant life." They'd probably, you know, turn around and walk away. But we say, "God is my source." We sing. Can I try to sing? "God is my source. God is my power. God gives me everything I need." What does that really mean? And do we really believe that, that God is our source? Edwin Gaines, who's kind of the guru of abundance and prosperity, I mean, she has, her whole life has been about abundance principles, and she has changed her life around in amazing ways. And she said, "God as source," this is her definition, "is present everywhere. Prosperity is the consciousness of God present everywhere. God as source, everywhere present, including right here, right now. Right here, right now, God as source is present." I was watching a TV show, and they had a woman on. She was an author, and she was talking about teaching your children lessons, and she, being a Christian woman, wanted to teach her son about God as source and God as a source of abundance and abundance everywhere and God present everywhere. And so she was trying to think, what can I do? Because that's, it's a hard concept to, for adults to get, let alone a child. So she said, "Aha, I got it." She went to the bank and she got $101 bills and she hid them all over the house. She put them in, you know, under the mattress, in a pillowcase, inside books, under the couch cushion, behind the TV, in the kitchen cupboard. And every time he would move around and find one of these dollars, she would say, "This is an indication of God as your source, abundance everywhere you look." And it got to the point where he started then mimicking that, saying he'd come in running in with a dollar and say, "I found more abundance. I found more God of God's presence." And I thought, what a neat idea. Maybe we should be like that toddler. Maybe we should go to the bank and get some $1 bills and have a friend come into our house and hide $1 bills all over the house so that every time we find another dollar bill, it will remind us that God is our source and God is everywhere present. And abundance is everywhere present. We sometimes think this spirituality stuff is taking giant leaps, taking quantum leaps from where we are to where we need to be, when in fact it's really about one degree of difference, about making little steps, making little changes, because those little steps and those little changes in consciousness are about an overall change in our consciousness, going from a consciousness of lack to a consciousness of abundance, prosperity, and God everywhere present. There's that story by the mystic Jalaluddin Rumi, who said, "I laugh when I hear the fish in the water is thirsty." Whenever mystics talk or whenever mystics write, they're always very cryptic. So he's talking about spiritual stuff, like the fish swimming in water, thinking he's thirsty. He's just unaware that all he has to do is open his mouth. He's surrounded with water to quench his thirst. We too, if we desire abundance and prosperity, are like that fish. We swim in an ocean of divine abundance. It's like that little boy with the dollars. Every time he didn't expect it, would find another dollar and be reminded that God is everywhere present. God is our source and the source of unlimited abundance. We just need to open our minds to get into that prosperity consciousness flow. You know, we live in a world that tells us there's not enough. We live in a world of scarcity. If I have this, then somebody doesn't have that. When in fact, in unity, we teach just the opposite, that we live in a world of abundance. Abundant love, abundant ideas, abundant potential. I was thinking about what that little boy would do with his dollars. You know, would he hoard it? He might. That's not abundance consciousness. Would he go buy something? Probably. That's what our society teaches us to do with dollars, to get things, to get. Or he might save up a few dollars and go buy a book. And maybe learn how to do magic tricks and put on a magic show and charge admission and have more dollars coming in. Where's the prosperity consciousness? In the hoarding? In the spending and acquiring? In the creativity and the potential of entertaining people and possibly producing more income that he could then do other things with? We forget how important being in an abundance consciousness is, because we're constantly inundated with society telling us to acquire, to hoard. So, how do we get into an abundance consciousness? Well, first of all, we have to understand this idea of what we call divine substance in unity. Divine substance is that potential. It's that little boy, instead of saving, hoarding, or spending, taking, acquiring knowledge, producing, and coming up with ideas that change his life and maybe another person's life. God is my source. God is that divine substance that we can pull from at any given moment. Maybe a neat exercise might be to have dollars hidden around the house. And when you find one, say, what can I do with this dollar to start getting practice in developing your abundance consciousness? Edwin Gaines Prosperity is the consciousness of God everywhere present, that energy of creation. We are co-creators with God. We can't not create. It's what are we creating? And I think one of the most essential steps in this whole prosperity consciousness thing is to begin with gratitude. We have so many gripes and complaints and irritations, and life pours stuff on top of us, and we don't stop enough to say, what am I grateful for? Or just take some time to have a gratitude journal, or wake up in the morning and think of five things you're grateful for. A roof over your head, a warm bed to sleep in, a body that moves, sometimes better than others. The fact that you love, or that someone loves you. I mean, that's awesome. The fact you can think and create and do. Gratitude, grumbling and complaining. We say in New Thought, change your thinking, change your life. And you have to catch yourself. It's not easy. We're being inundated on many sides about how awful it is. That ain't that awful mentality. Change your thinking. Change your consciousness. Change your life. Start with gratitude. It seems like a really, really small step. Celebrate and appreciate what you do have or what you can do. And bless it. We know by blessing, every time we bless something and we appreciate it, it multiplies in our life. In giving thanks for what we do have, it increases our awareness of the oneness that we all develop, and that oneness that's part of the divine flow. And it reminds us we're part of that. We're not static. We're part of this divine energy, this divine potential. Our thinking needs to move, as always in this spiritual realm, from the physical world, which is telling us about lack and limitation, and even exchanges, if I do this, you'll do that, to a world of grace, which is really about giving. As I say, we can do lots of things with those dollar bills. This whole idea of prosperity requires our conscious cooperation with spiritual principles. We've been given talents, we've been given abilities, we've been given ideas that we need to share to keep in this constant flow of potential and activity. And the thing is, we need to move away from if I do this, you'll do that mentality. The idea that as we move into a world of grace, we move from even exchanges to unlimited blessings. It's like, what's the line from scripture? You know, bring the tithe into the storehouse. Again, what they're saying is bring your gifts into the storehouse and I will open up the gates of heaven and pour these blessings upon you. They'll come from so many different areas that you won't even be able to keep track. I've often talked about the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea. The only difference between those two, they're both fed by the River Jordan. The one has an inflow and an outlet. The other is just inflow. And so as we move into 2019, and especially today where we're talking about volunteerism and we have our volunteer signups, how are we being an essential part of this divine flow here in our spiritual community, giving and receiving and then being blessed and giving more? We cannot make any sense of life or realize this free flow of substance in our lives until we begin to think of ourselves as givers as opposed to hoarders and acquirers. I'm not saying that's bad. I'm merely saying we're talking about creative flow. we're talking about soul evolution, spiritual evolution, and that's not static. That moves, that has energy. So let's take a few moments and move into meditation. And I'm going to ask Reverend Mike to take over for the meditation because I think that's the end of my voice.